The Father's Day has new merchandise available. Every purchase goes right back to the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mama Mia. Hola, señor. Get off that stage, boy. Quit monkeying around. The Father's Day is amazing. Subscribe now.
Like nighty going north. Running around like nighty going north. It's too amazing to see it, folks.
Insane people
screaming and yelling like nighty going north.
Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Today I have with me Roseanne Barr. That's amazing. Roseanne is a comedian, Emmy Award winning actress, and just an all around person. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. My friend Anomaly came on here with you, and he said, oh, you'll really enjoy going on there. So
we're going to have a hoot nanny of a time.
Okay.
You and I.
All right.
And but first, I need to know a few things. Do you think that most people are in a fallen state? The show is called The Fallen State.
Yeah, I know.
And do you think most people are in a fallen state?
I do.
You do? Yeah. And what does that mean to you?
They've given up the power of original thought, connection with other humans, and their divine spark.
Yeah.
And they're under mind control. And I've been talking about mind control for decades.
It's
and
so amazing.
It's working, though, yeah. Ain't it? It's working.
It sure is. I was telling them, we have...
Except for one thing.
What's that?
Well, you know, I study the Bible and all that, and I know you do, too. I'm a Jew. And in one of our holy books, it says... arrogance is always connected to ignorance.
Yeah.
There's no way either of them can't exist without the other one. They're the very same thing. So when you see the media mind control and the arrogance with which it's smeared,
yes,
you know that that's ignorance.
That's right.
And also they always have, you know, in Jewish books about face reading, it always says that they always have the sneer. They always have a little sneer like this.
They do. They're mean.
Well, they, obviously, they're uneducated. And,
that's right.
You know, they got a sneer of looking towards working people.
When did
who
that...
Who do their work for them?
When, I grew up on a plantation down in Alabama under Jim Crow laws.
Under Jim Crow.
And we were not brainwashed then. When did the brainwashing start, you think?
Well, real brainwashing's been around for forever. You know, if you look at Egyptian stuff, one of their gods' names is Thoth, and that means thought. So it's always been about the power of thought and speech and how to keep you in power if you control it. And so they have whole sciences built on it. But I think that it started in the United States. I think it was really just starting, well, it kind of always was here. But it went technological, I think, with General Eisenhower when he gave that speech on television. Okay, that's what it is, television.
That's what did it.
And when I was little, I used to know that, you know, and I was like, I want to be on television because that's where it all happens. You know,
when I remember back to the civil rights movement when most black people had a lot of sense. They thought for themselves. They worked for themselves. They got married. We didn't have black leaders or anybody leading us. God led us. And then the civil rights movement started, and it seemed like but that's when black people gave up their freedom of thought. Of thinking or speaking or doing what's right, live right, get married.
Well, there's a lot of books written about that. And of course, I can't remember the ambassador's name either, but our ambassador to the UN gave some speech about how maybe he didn't give a speech on it. I can't remember exactly the details, but it was about removing the father from the home.
That was the worst thing that could happen.
That's what first went wrong in that movement.
Every time
the left has a movement,
they
bring down the people they're, quote, saving.
That's right.
It's funny. That's mind control.
Lyndon B. Johnson brought in government for blacks during the civil rights movement. Uh-huh. But what was sad about it is that the so-called leaders of the civil rights movement approved of it. I remember them signing that it's okay to give blacks welfare, but they couldn't have a father in the home. And it's just been downhill ever since that. But we're working on changing that now.
Every time where there's a revolution on earth, the first thing they do is take the men away as workers to another place. And that leaves the women and children vulnerable.
What is it about men that they attack the men first?
Well, because the men will, you know, the men will, if they're men, they'll protect the women and children. That's what a culture and a society and a tribe. I come from a real tribal bunch, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You get rid of the men first, and then you force the women to become anathema. The women then have to be the warriors, and that isn't good for raising kids.
That's
to be
for
that
sure.
Way. That's not how women are supposed to be.
I say that there is a spiritual order to life. Uh-huh. And that order is God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. The love and the order come from above. And when they remove the black man, it went to hell in a handbasket.
Well, I want to talk to you about exactly what you mean so we can be on the same page, because I like definitions. But what do you say? What do you mean in exactly when you're saying the man over the woman? Because I'm a woman and that makes me nervous.
You don't like having a man over you?
At certain times, at night, I do. But I mean, what do you mean by that? I'm asking you what you mean.
So
An authoritarian, mean guy? No woman's going to marry up with a guy like that. I mean, unless they're
damaged. No, real men, or a real man is not in control like that.
Okay, good.
A real man is a light unto the family, unto the wife.
I believe that.
He guides
like
her.
My boyfriend, he's like that. He says, like, when we talk at this same subject, you know, because it's one of my favorite subjects to talk about, obviously, he says, well, the strongest thing a man can do is to, show weakness at certain times.
Show weakness?
When it's called for.
When is there a time for a man to be weak, to show weakness?
Well, he doesn't really say weakness. I can't remember the word.
Oh, okay.
It's
I could tell
like,
you to dump him.
No. He's saying like to allow the woman to I can't remember his words. I should call him up. But what he means is like when the man just loves the woman back to sanity.
Yeah.
Rather than rebukes and abuses her.
When a man love God or love what's right with all his heart, soul, and might, along with nothing else, he's able to bring the woman back to sanity.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's for sure.
And
but
he's
the problem
done that
we all
for me, you know, so I do love him, and he's, to me, he's the perfect man.
Right on.
And, you know, I tried to, here's my thing. I've raised two men, and I try to raise two alpha men, you know. Because that's why I like when you talk about that, about it is about the mother.
Yeah.
And I've, my whole life, tried to first understand what in the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And second, get them to stand up for, you know, to the woman. And, you know, my one son, he's divorced now because I ruined their marriage, and he's mad, you know, still at me, and she hates me and whatever. But, you know, I wasn't going to see a woman tear down my son.
That's right.
And I wasn't going to stand for it. I'm like, bitch, I was here first. I was here first, and, you know, I'm the alpha woman in this family, and I don't care what and who, you don't talk to my son like that.
That's right.
And I told my son the same thing. Well, you know, if you're going to say those kind of things to her, of course she's going to say them kind of things back to you. You got to do it right. You're coming from a victim place, and you're letting her be over you, and that's never going to work.
It never works.
See, that's why when I watch
never.
You, I'm like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
What you're saying about that, I
agree. Yeah, it never works. Mm-hmm. Speaking of men, you prefer a strong man, right? A real man, a strong man.
Well, now, yeah. So it's like he minds his own damn business. If I want, I can do what I want, you know. Like I have an obsession with cleaning and stuff, and my kids make fun of me. Everybody makes fun of me, but he'll just go, knock yourself out, do it, you know, do it. And you know, I just like to clean.
That's
things.
Right.
He doesn't try.
I gotta
to
ask you about
like
one
that.
Man that you were with. I don't know him, but he appeared to be weak when I see him. Mm-hmm. That guy, Arnold, remember him? Did you marry him? He used to be an actor.
I try to think of that.
You don't remember Arnold?
Oh,
I saw him on the airplane one day.
Oh, Tom Arnold?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You remember him?
I do remember him.
He appeared, I saw him on an air, I was traveling from.
You're trying to get me shot.
What do you mean?
You're going to make me say things about Tom Arnold.
But he seems so boyish and childish and
yeah, he is.
Immature.
Oh, he is. You're right.
What was it like living with a weak man like that?
Well, at that time, I was thinking that a woman could fix a man, you know.
Oh.
See? So yeah. I thought, you know, like a lot of women, I'm thinking, well, here's my project. It'll keep me from cleaning.
That's right.
And he was my special project. And, you know, then you find out,
it's not going to work.
It's not working.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the woman, you try to, you know, be with a man and not a tantrum throwing big fat baby that, you know, his legs shake all the time and he's sneaking coke behind your back.
Amazing.
You know, you don't like that.
No woman like that. Do you agree with me that a lot of men are beta males now?
Oh, yeah. They're like almost girls.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? It's like what? It's like, yeah, they're not attractive. Like, when I go to movies or watch movies, and it's like, I'm like, girl.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me, like, get attracted to them.
That's right.
I want to see a real guy that I know underneath, you know, my favorite male fantasy or whatever. I like the strong, silent type. And, you know, because that's like, I like subdued passion. I don't like the, you know. I'm
no woman does, to be
like,
honest.
It's like, don't take my, you know, they're going like, Daddy, look at me, because that's how we are, you know, I am. But when they're up there, Daddy, look at me, I'm like, get back.
That's right. I always tell guys who are like that when they have a woman, it's like two lesbians together. The man acting like a woman. A woman don't want another woman like that. She want a real man.
Well, so, some women they do like a feminine
a
man.
A beta male.
Well, yeah, because then they can boss them around.
Oh yeah, I'm about to say that's all the reason.
Yeah.
So that they can control them.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to. So nobody's able to cause.
But you know what I want to say? That has a lot to do with the mother-in-law. Because a lot of these women, they think they're smarter than women who've done more and are smarter than them in reality. And they just like to bring women down. They like to put themselves to bring a stronger, more intelligent, more capable, and more successful woman down.
Amazing.
Because they can't lift themselves up. So what, they look around, I'm going to bring her down. I'm going to look good doing it.
Why don't women tell each other the truth like you're doing now about what women are doing? I noticed that it's hard
for women.
Because
of mind control. They got to play their role. It's all role. It's all like imposed program.
Amazing.
And they got to do what they're told to do, and that's be a useful idiot.
Yeah.
And they're proud of it too. They're dumber than hell and proud of it.
That's
like
amazing.
People that are arrogant and ignorant. But the Bible says that the thing is, when you see something like that and with the sneer and all, just step back and don't get involved in any way, because they always undo themselves.
Yes.
And we're seeing that right now in our country. They're arrogant and ignorant folk are undoing themselves. We don't have to get any of their mess on us. We're just supposed to witness it. But know with discernment that is what's
right.
going on. And nobody has any damn discernment.
That's right.
That's what's missing.
You're absolutely right. 100%.
I'm a grandmother, and I know, okay? I know. I know everything. I know how to raise the little children. I do, and I do it. And I am just sick of people not listening to me and doing what I tell them to do, because if they would do that, they would it would win.
We here at my nonprofit organization, we hold seminars or meetings for women only.
Oh, good.
Sometimes for men only, and then everybody together. We're putting together an event right now for men and women, and these women hopefully like to hear the truth. You should come and speak there.
Okay.
Would you come?
Oh, hell yeah. I love to tell men what I think of them.
Oh, okay.
And see if they're man enough to take it.
Well, we'll let you know. So
okay, I'd love to.
Okay.
I was hearing about your nonprofit because I just think it sounds great that you're advising people on how to bring economic freedom into their own life.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we it's called BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And for 28 years, we've been rebuilding the family by rebuilding a man. And that means loving what's right. You know, the man's supposed to lead. They also, I believe, should be in business. They need to be entrepreneurs.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we tutor, we counsel.
That's
we have
freedom,
a home for young
isn't
men.
That? That's a real freedom.
I grew up that way. And so we started this academy, Entrepreneur Academy, out of Bond. And we're showing these guys how to start their own businesses.
That's great.
We bring in speakers to answer whatever question they might have. And we also have a credit union. We have
to start a credit union. Yeah. Credit union is the key, credit union.
Right, because they don't have credit, so we have to loan them the money.
That is so great.
28 years of it.
Good for you.
Isn't
that's
that something?
So revolutionary, right, and good.
It's working out well. I told you about Joel. Mm-hmm. He started his own thing. He started a dance academy.
Really?
And he's black. I got to ask you this.
I have to tell you, I'm a hell of a dancer, just so you know.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I got
a singer. I've been singing again.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you could sing.
I know.
I saw you sing one time.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was an error.
Were you like...
I was trying to, you know, as I told people, please, an idiot. You know, the picture
that was amazing
that team,
to see you do that.
That picture on that team, he's like, hey, after you're done, you should scratch yourself and spit like we do. So I'm like, hey, that, because I'm an idiot. So I'm like, oh, that sounds funny.
Oh, Lord. Were you joking around when you did it?
Yeah, I meant to be joking around.
Oh.
But then, as soon as I started, the thing was, I started too high. That was a whole problem. And then I knew about five notes in that I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I was like, am I going to stop and start again? I can't be like, excuse me, all you 100,000 people, we got to start. So I just knew I was dead. So I tried to make it funny.
It was funny.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was funny.
I think it's funny, too. My grandkids just pee themselves laughing. Is that wrong?
I think if most people don't take things so seriously, they would have thought it was funny, too. Because
I
it was funny.
Joan Rivers asked me, she goes, if you had been a man and done that, you'd everyone would have laughed. And then I thought about Borat doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Like 15 years after me. And they're all like, ah! And me, I have to hire LAPD to stand on my roof with guns. But he's like, they're like, ah! Oh, that's funny. Oh, original.
Amazing.
Very original. Oh, my God.
I got to ask you, you say that you are a Jew, right?
Uh-huh.
You don't look like a Jew. Are you like a real Jew, or are you usher into Judaism?
I did my DNA. I'm 100% Jew.
Really?
100%. 99.999.
Have you always been a Jew, or were you a Christian at one time?
No, I was born Jew.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Amazing. What is it like being a Jew?
I'm so glad you asked. It's difficult right now and frightening right now. It's very scary. And talk about mind control.
Right.
And, you know, they're all on an anti-Semite program, and it's very frightening. And I feel like I have to do something about it for my people, and so I'm going to.
Yeah.
And I am. It's not right. And but to be a Jew in my body, in my life, it is such a joy. It is a wonderful...
To be a Jew.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's joyous and fulfilling, and it's sweet.
When you were growing up as a little girl, did you know you were a Jew then?
Yeah.
How come we... Why didn't we hear about this before now? Because I never, I've seen you in so many other interviews years ago,
yeah,
right?
I always talk about it.
Oh, yeah?
I was a little girl, and I grew up in an apartment house that my grandparents owned that was inhabited by survivors of Auschwitz, that my grandparents sponsored 50 families to come over from the camps after the war was over. And so I grew up in an apartment house with people who had numbers on their arms. And
that's amazing.
Every Friday night on Shabbat, we would have our Shabbat dinner with all the people in the apartment house. And that's where I started entertaining, because I was like three, and I wanted to sing and dance and make people laugh. And my grandma had the windowsill seat.
Right.
So I used to go up in the windowsill thing, and I do my Shirley Temple impressions, you know.
That's amazing.
And everybody would applaud, and I figured out very early, three or so, man, I like people when they're sitting out there applauding. I'm scared of them if they come too close, but, you know, that's a perfect relationship for me, is making people laugh and think and, yeah, you know, cry too.
Well, it's worked very well.
I wanted to always be that person, and I really, my family were big liars, and they said to me always, you are better than Shirley Temple, and, you know, and so I believed it.
Yeah.
They go, you're cuter than her. My mom, I got frizzy hair in real life, and so my mom, I put on rags and a hot roller thing,
oh,
so
yeah,
I could have my Shirley Temple ringlets, and I really did think I was better talented than Shirley Temple till I went out in the real world, and then I was so mad that they had lied to me.
But no, you've done well in that. I mean, you've been through a lot, but
thank
you're very
God,
funny.
Thank God. Thank
and speaking
you.
Of that, you had the number one show recently, and ABC fired you over that tweet.
Yeah.
So you tweeted this thing out one night,
uh-huh,
about Jarrett, that woman.
It was about the Iran deal, and let me say this. It was
Valerie Jarrett.
It was 3 months of discussing the People's Revolution, the Woman's Revolution,
right,
in Iran. 3 months. I was on there day and night, and they took one sentence out of that entire tweet storm,
yeah,
where other people were involved, including reporters in Iran, and they mischaracterized that tweet and just threw dirt on my name and took my life's work away from me, and then continued to disparage me, and they still do.
Yeah.
And of course I'm, you know, I was like, you know, we talk about God. Well, we didn't get to that yet, but I'm sure we will.
We will.
Yeah. But it was terrifying. It was like,
I was going to ask you.
It was like being a little girl where they would tell their stories of, you know, the things they had gone through in Germany. It was just like that in my mind.
Amazing.
It was like, oh my God, they're calling me a racist,
yeah,
and I'm a Jew from, with North African roots.
Yeah.
And my whole life I fought for civil rights, and I ran for president in 2012.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Remember, yeah.
As the representative of the Black Caucus of the Green Party, and they insulted also all of my Black fans and all of my Black family and all of my Black friends. They insulted them too,
yeah,
as well as the people who watched the show, because they really wanted to call a Trump supporter a racist.
They did. Absolutely.
That's all it's about.
It was a political statement. It was not a racist statement.
In any way, it was not
racial. But they pretend that it was.
Plus, I thought she was white. I thought she was Persian.
I didn't even know she was Black, to be honest. I did too. I thought she was Persian or something. Not even Black.
Plus, she was. Another reason is, I mean, this is going to get me in a ship, boatload of trouble. But she was a slumlord in Chicago.
I'm not surprised.
You know, I thought. Then I thought, my God, you got to apologize to white people for thinking that it was a white slum owner when it wasn't.
And it wasn't a white.
And her slum owning was so bad, Jesse, that that the state took her slum away from her.
Wow.
That's bad.
And that wasn't all over the news, the way they put this thing about you.
Nor was it that she worked for the Federal Reserve. That wasn't on the news either.
Yeah. What they accuse us of is what they're doing.
Do. Yeah, exactly.
It's so amazing.
And then these people, and here's the mind-blowing thing, because I was going to talk to you about your bond thing. My whole career, I've always been fighting to get black writers in those writers' rooms.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe, and I've written about it too in books that I've written, you wouldn't believe the, what's the word where they say no, no, no. So that's why I don't agree with you that it's post-racist, because I was in Hollywood and I've seen it. And I try to get black writers in there. I say, but you know, we're talking about a class, a working class of people that's heavily populated by people of color. It's not just, you know, hillbillies, yeah, like their view of things. And I was right in the middle of fighting for them to hire black writers and to do the second season about racial politics in America.
So this was
when they called me a racist.
Wow.
And I'm really mad.
Yeah.
I can't get rid of it. But I'm sublimating into trying to do something bigger and better for children of the world. That's
right,
my cause.
It was their loss. That show is going to hell in a handbasket right now. It's not working. So it was their loss, not yours.
Well, it was my loss because they were my ideas that, you know, I sat there for 20 years going,
but you could start your own thing.
If I ever came back, what would people be doing in this family?
Yeah.
So that was 20 years of me thinking and putting my sweat and blood into what would it be when they came back.
But you could take that now and create your own show.
I know. People were telling me, somebody said, you should do a new Roseanne show and say all your family was killed by illegal aliens.
That's right. But, absolutely. But here's what I want to know. So that night you tweeted out this tweet.
Yeah,
and
it was
weird.
No, I was in bed. I was asleep.
And then you wake up the next morning, all hell is breaking loose. What was your first thought and feeling? What did you think right away?
Well, my boyfriend was there, and so he saw it all, and my son, too. I tweeted, when I woke up, they had said that I was the racist thing. And I tweeted back, I didn't know it was a big deal yet, I said, Muslim is not a race.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know she was black.
Right.
And then you could have knocked me over with a feather
they
found out. And I was like, oh, my God, I've stepped in some mud now, some stinky stuff.
Yeah.
And, but it wasn't like that too much. It was like I was asleep and I got awaken, what's the word? And it was like, put your fingers on that computer and type this. It was like not even me.
Yeah.
And it was like important that I did it. And so I did it, and then I was thinking, man, you have made a Q-like sentence holds a lot of nuance. And then when they came down on me the next day, I was just already so shook up. I was so shaken because they were saying that it was.
I know.
They reduced it to the most common denominator of idiocy.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything like that.
No.
And then shortly thereafter, people started tweeting pictures of Valerie Jarrett next to, I forget her name, that Helena Bonham Carter, who was the character in that movie, which happens to be my favorite movie. Now I can never talk about it, I guess. But it is my favorite movie because Rod Serling wrote it, and to me, always, it was about the Jews.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's my favorite movie, about when you deny your slaves the ability to read. And it's also about black people, and it's also about slaves. People still have slaves. And, you know, they have them in Iran.
Yeah. You don't hear anything about that, though, from these people.
No. And
are you over that now? Are you past that? Oh, does it still bother you?
It bothers me to have been slimed by people who were saying, you don't need black writers. That makes me mad. And I do want an apology. And they owe me an apology. Yeah. I don't want my show back because, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's too hard. Yeah. And I could never go back now with the things they've said about me.
Yes.
And nor would I want to.
But I don't blame
I just
you.
Want to, well, you can sit there, know yeah. me for 20 years and who I am and what I've done.
Did
and
the cast defend that. You? The cast of that show, they didn't defend you?
No.
Why not?
They piled on.
Really?
Yeah. It was,
were you surprised
it was like
by that?
Hell, huh?
Were you surprised they did not defend you, the cast of the show?
No, because I was like this. When the network called, they said, you're going to have to talk to the network. And I'm like, oh, crap. That's when I started smoking again. I hadn't even been smoking.
I don't blame you.
So I go, give me a dang cigarette. You know, I'm out in the alley smoking, not talking.
Yeah.
And the first thing they said to me is, what? And it was real arrogant. Not the way you talk to somebody who's just given you a number one show.
Right. That's right.
Not the way. But right. It was a man. And, you know, he's beta.
Beta.
Beta, yeah. Yeah. No respect for yeah. me. As a woman, as an artist, or somebody who has put their own butt on the line for things they never would do.
Making a lot of money for them, too.
Yeah. But, you know, the first question he says to me, what possible excuse do you have for such an egregious blah, blah, and I stopped listening then. But I was like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
God is bringing this down on me in 20 different directions. And God did bring it down on me in 20 different directions. But I was holding on fast, and I'm like, God, I know you did it for a reason. I know you woke me up in the middle of the night to write that.
Well, he didn't do it. He allowed
God.
He allowed it to happen to bring your attention to something else.
Yes, he did.
So that's why it happened.
I know. And yeah. I knew that the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I was there in my mom's house. My mom, she's very religious too, you know. And I'm like, I'm hanging on till the light.
That's
at
right.
the end of the time. I know it's going to be something good.
That's right.
They can't shake my faith. They can't destroy me. And they definitely can't silence me.
That's right.
And so that won't happen.
But that's right.
I thought, well, this subject is so large that I need to address it. And so that is why I was invited to address the Knesset in Jerusalem. And I will be speaking about the left.
Oh, good.
And how they, like the women in Hollywood, congratulated the woman who fired me. The actors.
Amazing.
And I'm like, man, you just brought a world of hurt down on yourself. That's how I saw it.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, you just brought a world of hurt down on you. And that's how I look at all of it. And it's like, woo, you know, they're going to have to deal. It's not my problem. I
yep.
don't care. It's
that's right.
Not none of my business. But here was the kicker. Valerie Jarrett goes on the TV and she goes, it didn't bother me a bit. After I know what phone calls were made
right.
because Bob Iger, the head of ABC, and they, let's talk about, well, I won't, but they all said it in print. How's that for smart?
Amazing.
Every one of them said it in print. Bob Iger said in print that Valerie Jarrett was the first call he made before he fired me. Okay, well, that's in print. You told your story.
That's amazing.
So
let me add the staff, I mean the cast
she said
members.
It didn't bother her at all.
I'm sure it didn't. She got more pleasure watching a white woman who's a Jew get fired than she did with anything else. White people are the most hated.
A Jewish woman, I don't consider myself white, most Jews
a
don't.
Jewish woman. But listen.
A Jewish woman who defends Israel, they took me down.
Yeah.
And Trump. And the reason I voted for Trump is because he said he would move the embassy to Israel. So it was
and
very,
he did it.
Very, and he did it.
He did it. I was going to ask you about the Great White Hope.
I love that you say that to people that get them going, don't
I know, they hate that. I love the Great White Hope, by the way.
I love him.
He's the best thing that could have happened to America right now than any other thing.
Absolutely.
But I want to go.
And to Israel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thank him for that.
Israel is very fortunate.
When he called me to congratulate me on having a number one show.
Yes.
I thanked him on behalf of my mother and my whole family that he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
About time.
And he followed through. Yeah, 6,000 years about enough. And then he followed through by moving the U.S. Embassy there, and I'm going there.
I know.
And that is, you don't know, that's like, well, I'm sure you can imagine and relate it to your upbringing culture, but that is historical redemption of the Jewish people.
Yeah. And I can imagine.
I just love him for that.
Me too. Man, I pray for him all the time because they hate him.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They hate him.
They hate him because he did that. Do you think that's why they hate him? I think that's a large reason of why they hate him.
That's one of the reasons, but they hate him because he is a straight, white, conservative, Christian man of power. He put the country first. He's having a great impact on the country for the good, and those people never intended for that to happen. So they hate him because of that. He's a straight, white, conservative Christian man of power, and he doesn't back down. Most men are like beta men, and they would back down. They would be afraid to speak up. If they're attacked, they won't attack back. They just take it. He's not like that.
Here's why I love him, plus those things like you said. He's going after child trafficking. You know, when I tell people that, they always stop a little bit. I always like to tell Democrats that.
Yeah.
He's helping children of the world. Now, I align myself with people who are against child sex slavery and any kind of slavery.
Yeah.
You can't have that anymore. It's needless.
Yeah, that's right.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
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 Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
I got to prove something to you. I think you might already know.
What?
There is no such thing as racism.
I know you say that, but you've never worked in Hollywood in a writer's room, hon.
I'm going to tell you why they did that. But there's no such thing as isms. No racism, no sexism, no homophobiaism, no Islamphobiaism, no deadbeat dadism. And the reason for that, because the Bible says it too, our battle is a spiritual battle.
Right.
It's a warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and wicked places and high places. And so, and there are good men and women who are not dealing with that, they have overcome, and there are those who have not, right? And I'm all racist.
That's right.
And when I was growing up, we knew that. They never used the word racism when I was growing up. They said, no, that's a bad one, or that's a good one, that's evil, or that's good. And so there you can solve the problem if you know what it is.
That's right.
But the children of the lie made up those words about racism and sexism because once they made it up, there's no way you can solve it. How do you prove somebody's a racist or not when you're just a hateful person? And so they are lying about racism. It's never been about racism. It's just people. You have bad, evil people. You have good ones. So that's why I say there's no such thing as racism.
But also, I understand that, but then you've got to get into...
I'm going to tell you why they don't hire them.
Okay.
Because they tell me in secret, and I know already, that when you hire black people, you run the risk of being sued. You run the risk, because if you correct them, they're going to get mad. They're going to accuse you of racism, and they're going to sue you. They don't show up on time. They don't work very hard, and nobody want to put up with that. And if you try to
my experience with black writers is the opposite of what you said.
It is?
Yes.
Have you ever corrected them, told them, no, you're wrong, or you need to be here on time, and you need
I've
to do this?
I've never had to say be here on time. I've had to say, wait a minute, I don't. Let's take this to, I like teaching writers.
Yeah.
So I say, you know, that's my biggest note to writers is, no, that is a class issue that has to be addressed.
Yeah.
But people are
It wasn't like that, Roseanne, when I was growing up, though.
People of color who've worked for me have it's been like we just talk like people.
Yeah.
And I can tell when somebody's a good writer. And when I find one, man, that's a joy, you know. That is a gift to the world.
Yes.
And I love teaching them. So I haven't had that problem. I've had that problem with old Jewish guys that don't show up on time and show up drunk and, you know, got a hooker in the other room while they're supposed to be writing.
Amazing.
And, you know, but I haven't had that experience.
I have.
Okay, I'm sure you have.
Believe me. And it started right at when they broke up the family. Because when I was growing up, my grandfather taught us, my grandmother taught us, you got to be on time, you got to work hard, appreciate what you have, appreciate the job, treat it as though it's your own. And that's paid off for me, to have a good attitude about everything. But once they broke up the family, the blacks, most of the blacks lost that. They don't have that attitude anymore. They think they are owed something because they're black. You know, give it to me just because I'm black, and they don't have to earn it. That's gone now.
Do you think that that's a, you know, what's her name? Oh, God. Candace Owens, she's always talking, who I really like.
Yeah.
She's always talking about victim mentality.
Yes.
And at a time in my life when I was a big leftist.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Are you a conservative now?
I had the big victim mentality.
Yeah, they have it.
Yeah.
Black people, not all, but most feel like victims. And the liberals have made them, the Democratic Party have made them feel like victims by always giving them something and telling them, there, it's not your fault, it's someone else. And so now they've fed them so much free stuff, they feel like victims now.
Well, I think that what they were doing was sabotaging them.
Of course.
They were sabotaging the black community to split it so it didn't have a strong vote.
That's
and
right.
They also sabotaged the connection between the Jewish and black community. That one was too strong for them.
Yeah.
So they had to take that down, you know, because, you know, unity is the worst thing to,
that's right,
to the slave owner.
That's right, 100%. Do you consider yourself a conservative now?
I just say Jew.
Oh,
I live by the... My people teachings,
yeah.
And so I do think that I'm conservative in some things, and as far as law, I'm very conservative,
yeah,
on the law. But I'm liberal in the way that I think everybody can reboot their life.
It can
change. If they repent and decide to change.
Absolutely.
So I try to, Absolutely. So I'm a little of both probably.
I used to be when I was a Bader, I was a Democrat. And then I went to God and he changed my heart, took away the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I could no longer identify with the platform of the Democratic Party. And so I went back and I said, you know what, God, I have one more favor. He's like, what is it? I said, you changed my heart. I can no longer identify with the Democratic Party. So I looked at the Republican platform, God, country, family, Constitution, and all that, and I can agree. I said, I don't want to be a Democrat anymore. I'm sorry. He said, oh, don't worry about it. I forgive you. And I became a Republican. And it's been amazing. That's
well,
when
I,
all
I
hell
guess
broke
I
loose.
Became a sort of Republican since I voted for Trump. But
the Great White Hope.
Yeah. Well, to us, he's the great Jewish hope.
Oh, well, he's my great white hope.
Okay.
You think he's going to win? You predict he will win in 2020 to be reelected?
If things go right in this world, but, you know, I don't know.
I believe so.
I would think so.
I
love that since he started talking about the wall, his support from Hispanics went up 19%.
Yeah, I know.
From legal immigrants.
They call my radio show. They love him.
I mean, the Democrats are so arrogant and stupid. And also they're very, I know you don't like to think there's racist, but they presume a lot about other cultural
they do.
People's culture. And
they don't
like
care.
Presume. No, they don't care. And I loved that you were out there talking about, the illegals who come here, well, they don't go live in Beverly Hills with you.
That's right.
They come to working class, you know, black neighborhoods, and then we bear the brunt of the
yes,
things they
believe
do.
Me.
Increase in violence, rape, crime.
And running
drugs.
Blacks out of their own neighborhoods and everything with all that violence and stuff.
But the Democrats have no interest in what people on the ground and working people live through. Yeah. They don't. It's boring to them. They got to jet off to Afghanistan and check on their poppies.
That's right. We were unfortunately coming to an end.
I love being with you.
Me too. I'm enjoying this. So I got to ask you some quick questions.
Okay. They better not be nasty.
They won't. Okay. What is a man?
A man is the greatest thing in the world. A man is a leader, a comforter. He can get your circuits right. He can help you with your kids. He sets your kids. I mean, what my boyfriend does with my children, I could not do.
That's amazing.
You know, he's a real guy, a real man, and he is a brilliant musician. So right. I have music in my life and a strong person to lean on when I'm really weak, you know.
Yeah.
I am pretty well emotionally weak woman, but not my family. Oh, don't mess with my family.
Right on. What is love?
Love is an energy that the universe emits. And all we have to do is just soak it up. It's the natural order of everything.
Yeah. Will you vote for the Great White Hope this time around?
Hell yes.
That's right. And my final question, did you have fun?
I did, and I also love to talk on such a deep level with you and see a little bit better who you really are. It was
right,
great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And thank you for coming. And thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to like, follow, tweet, subscribe, share. And we have all kind of product, T-shirts and things on there that you can buy.
I bought your T-shirts and books.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Cash.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
In cash?
Well, I mean, I paid. I didn't take them as gifts.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wanted to pay.
Well, we'll put it back in.
I want to support.
Well, thank you.
And I want to come and speak at your deal. But let's talk about mentoring some writers, too.
Okay. I would love that.
Yeah,
and I know some people who are writers. They would love that, too.
I would like to mentor young black women who are funny.
We know some.
To put it in, get it in script form.
Nice.
I can help them.
Right on. We're going to make sure that happens.
Okay, good.
All right. And don't forget, folks, thank you. Let us hear from you. Thank you for tuning in. See you next time.
Yeah.
And thank you all for coming. That's amazing.
Yay!
Next time on The Fallen State.
Would you go and get in bed and have sex with the guy too, or just Brittany?
It just depends person to person. I'm not necessarily caught up on him being male or female or transgender. We can really decide what we want to be in this world. Being able to say, I'm a woman right now, and I want to be treated like that.
That's amazing.
I do feel like I have a lot of masculinity, and I feel like a lot of the time I am more like have a more masculine role in our relationship.
Does Brittany treat you like a female when you're having sex?
Yes.
What does she do?
They don't want this country to be great, great. They want a socialist society. It's unfortunate.
Isn't that amazing? The children of the lie, the liberal media, Democratic Party, these are liars. All lies, all the time. It is mind-blowing.
Like 90 going north. 90 going north,
people running around like
90 going north.
It's too amazing to see it, folks.
Thanks for watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.